I mean, our reading will be taken from 2 Kings chapter number 6, starting at verse number 15. Please follow along as I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version, and it reads, "When an attendant of the man of God rose early in the morning and went out, an army with horses and chariots was all around the city. His servant said, 'Alas, master, what shall we do?' He replied, 'Do not be afraid, for there are more with us than there are with them.' Then Elisha prayed, 'O Lord, please open his eyes that he may see.' So the Lord opened the eyes of the servant, and he saw. The mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha." Amen. So what I'm going to ask you to do is, I'm going to ask you to turn to your neighbor, look your neighbor in the eye. I'm going to ask you to just take your Bible or your device and put it down. And once you put it down, I want you to lift up your hands, and I want you to do nothing but look up and repeat after me. Lord, thank you, for your presence. Lord, thank you for your presence. Amen. You may be seated. We have entitled our message this morning, "Lord, thank you for your presence." The reality of life is such. You know, when I was 12 years old, I had tonsillitis so bad, I couldn't drink water. They took me to the hospital. I had my tonsils removed. And that next morning, when I woke up, I'm in a hospital bed, in a room, by myself, with nobody else present. My throat is sore. I can't talk. And I was afraid. And I'm looking around, and nobody is in there. Nobody's coming. And the more I looked, and it seemed like the more I saw nobody, the more afraid I became. And then I looked out the window, and I was still, you know, feeling a little rough. And then I turned back to the door, and I saw my mother walk in. Tears came to my eyes, but fear went away because of her presence. You know, I think that we have to look at life and realize the realities of what we're going to have to deal with in life. Because what we're going to have to deal with life at times will appear to be large. It's bigger than us. And when that happens, we have to know where our help comes from. But I think at times, some of us are absent. And when we're absent, we don't know what's going on. But it's like this, if I can use this analogy. Everybody in here has been to school, right? You remember when you got to school, and Ms. Chavis, a former teacher, and I mean, we have other teachers here. The one thing you did before you started class, Mrs. Chavis, is the first thing you did was take attendance. And the whole purpose of taking attendance is to identify who is here. So if I said James Rhodes, you would say. If I said Monica Flippin, you say. Right? And if I said Stephen Redge, you say. Right? But if I said Brother Lightbulb. And then she would mock and she would say, are you following me? So what is that saying? Class will go on whether you're there or not. But one of the things that we have to understand is that if you are a child of God, you should never be, but you should always be. Now y'all stick a fork in that, all right? Because we're going to come back to that. Not a fork, but stick a pin in it, all right? because it's going to make sense here after a while, all right? Now, what we have going on here, I read you a snippet of a story, a biblical story, which starts back in verse number 8. The king of Aram was at war against Israel. And his whole idea was to put together plans where he could ambush their armies and overtake them. And every plan that he put together to ambush Israel, it didn't work. Brother Chester, he couldn't understand why they were unsuccessful. His plans appeared to be flawless. And since his plan was flawless, every time, not just once, not just twice, more times than that, every plan he put together was flawed. That he felt was flawless. So what does he do, Valerie? What he does is he gathers all his officers. He brings them all into a room. And when he brings them all into the room, he says, all right, there's something wrong here. You can go read it, but I'm emphasizing this. Something is wrong here because there is a traitor amongst us. Because don't nobody know my plan but y'all. And if y'all the only ones that know my plan, how in the world is it that Israel knows what's going on? One of y'all must be a somebody working with me. But I want you to understand. One of his officers stood up, Phil, and said, hold on, King. There is no traitor among us. I want you to know that prophet whose name is Elisha, who's down in Dothan, every time you put together a plan, God tells Elisha the plan, and Elisha tells it to the king of Israel. So that's how come every plan you put together that you think is flawless, God is the one that's telling him, and they are not going to be where you expect them to be. So the whole purpose of doing this was to let him know it ain't us. It's that God of Israel that's causing the problem. You see, he missed that part. You see, he missed that part, Digging Boot, because he figured if he go to Dothan, he can go and get the prophet. And if I get the prophet out the way, then I won't have the problem anymore. You understanding how flawed his plan is? You see, I want you also to understand something. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I know God got me. You see, I want you all to realize that when you are about your father's business, there's always somebody who is trying to put a thorn in your plan. There's always somebody who's trying to falter your plan. There's always somebody who's trying to shut you up. There's always somebody trying to block your blessing. There's always somebody trying to put up a roadblock. There's always somebody talking about you. There's always somebody trying to come up against you. But don't you know, I recognize I'm flawed, but I serve a God who is flawless. And since God is flawless, I know who's got me. I know who's blessing me. But this king thought, if I shut up the prophet, my problem would be solved. But I'm trying to tell you, folk can do whatever they want, but they are not bigger than our God. Because what God is for you, who can be a? You see, so the king, Reverend Flippin, put together this next to flawless plan. He sends all these troops down to Dothan, and they surround the city. And I need you to work with me and utilize your spiritual imagination. Work with me. And what happens is, one of his attendants or servants, depending on your translation, wakes up early in the morning. And he goes out to go get some water. Because you know when folk get up, everybody needs is some water. So he going to get the water. We don't know what he was going to get, but I'm just utilizing it. I said y'all can use your imagination. Work with me. He going to get the water. And as he comes out the house, and they're on the mountain, and he looks over the mountain. He sees chariots. He sees an army that are surrounding the city. And once he sees that, Mother Austin, the brother loses it. He loses it because he said, look at all these folk who are here against us. And once he saw all that were against them, he ran back to tell Elisha. Isn't that what he did, y'all? He said to Elisha, "Alas, master, what shall we do? All these folk here, this army, they're going to kill us all. They're going to capture us all. We're not going to make it. What are we going to do?" That brother was about to lose his mind. Because all he could see is negativity. And you know why his thoughts were that way? Because he was absent. Remember I told y'all to stick a pin in that earlier? You see, when you're absent, you're always missing something. And when you're missing something, it puts you in a position that you're behind and you're not in line. I'll say it one more time. When you're absent, you're missing something that would have put you in line. But in turn, you are now behind. You see, when you're absent, you focus on the obstacle. When you're absent, you can't see. Yes, you focus on no. When you're absent, the negativity begins to win. When you're absent, you look at your own flaws and your own shortcomings and feel that you're incapable of winning. When you are absent, you now identify yourself as a loser and not a winner. When you are absent, you don't realize you have the victory. You see, my brothers and sisters, the one thing I want us to see here. How could this brother be absent if he is here as an attendant or a servant to Elisha, the anointed man of God, who was there to lead and encourage the people? How can you be so close to God's anointed one, but at the same time be so far away? How can you be in church doing a worship service where God is being praised? You are so close, but you're absent. You're only in there physically, but your mind is so. Can I let y'all into a prayer I prayed this morning? While we were there in my office, because we always pray before we come out, Deacon Booth was in there with us and Reverend Flippin and Reverend Rose, and I told them, and they know all that I'm dealing with and all that I'm going through. And I prayed this morning, "Lord, help me not to be distracted." Because when you're dealing with life situations and circumstances, it can cause all of us to have some. And the only way that we can maintain our focus is that we're not going to rely on ourselves. We got to rely on something bigger than us. And in order for me to even stand up here right now and preach, I'm not relying on what I know. I'm relying on the one who brought me this far and will take me all the way. It's left up to us to pray away the distractions. I don't ever want to be in the presence of God and still be absent. And I'm sharing with you, don't just be in God's house and still be absent. Because if you're absent, you're missing something. You're not in line to get what's there for you, but you'll find yourself further behind. And what is happening is that when this brother shares this negative information. No, let me put it this way. It's not negative information. It's called real information. Because the army being out there, y'all, was what? Real. So all he was doing was sharing what was? Real. And once he shared what was real, it's how you process the real will determine whether or not it will be negative or whether it will be positive, whether it will stop you from smiling or will it bring you to tears, whether it'll cause you to throw your hands up and say, oh, the heck with it all, or will you say, I'm going to put my hands to the plow and keep moving on. It's left up to you and how you receive the real information, because it's left up to you whether or not you are present or whether you are. So what we're seeing here is that the attendant told him the reality. Do you see it? And he now is upset, afraid, scared, wondering how much longer he gonna live. Or is this his day he gonna die? He don't know what's gonna happen. The brother, sister, Fee has gotten hysterical. But check out what Elisha says. Elisha says to him in verse 16, do not be afraid, for there are more with us than there are with them. Elisha could have been talking to a hole in the wall. You see, because when you're absent, you're also not ready to embrace the truth. You're not ready to embrace the truth because you're absent. Because when you're absent, you're not in line. But you find yourself further behind. So since he was absent, what Elisha attempted to do was to encourage him through the word of God. You see, because this man is one of his servants. This man knows how he thinks. This man knows the anointing of God is upon him. This man has been close to him. This man has heard him say other things before. But this man looks at the situation and looks more at the situation and believes the situation is bigger than what he's talking about. Because what he's talking about can't fix my situation. So I'm looking at the man rather than looking who the man represents. So when he tells me not to be afraid, I ain't hearing what he's saying. There's more with us than with them. No, it ain't more folk with us than with them. I'm looking, it ain't nobody but you and I in here and a few other folk. But when I look out there, I see horses, I see chariots, I see men who got swords, who gonna kill us. What do you mean there's more with us than them? Yes, I'm afraid. Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right. Now, you're no different. You can share with folk how to get through a situation. Let's pray. You can share the word of God with them. And they'll say to you, ah, that's all sound good, but that ain't helping me right now. You see, when you're absent, you're not in line. You find yourself further behind. You know, when you go to the school system, the school system has 180 days. And you have to be in school X number of days in order for you to go forward. Because if you don't meet the minimum number of days, no matter how good a student you are, you ain't going to go to the next grade. Ain't that right, Dr. Aldrin? So what we're seeing here with God, it's not that we're here to go from grade to grade. But God is going to move the church up to the next level. In order for the church to move up to the next level, there got to be folk who are not trying to get further, but stay in line. Yes. And the more folk that are staying in line, the much faster we can move forward. You see, so what God doesn't want us to get caught up in is having absenteeism. Now, I'm not talking about y'all folk who are retired and you, yes, you are deserving of your vacation. The Lord has blessed you. I'm not talking about that because it's good for you to do those things. I'm not knocking that. Because even when you're on vacation, you take your word with you and you still read it. And guess what? When you come back, you can go online and click on it and listen to the sermon. And understand what is going on. I'm talking about the folk who are consciously being absent. And sometimes you don't know how absent you are until all hell breaks loose in your life. Because when all hell break loose, that's when you realize that, oh my goodness, I'm looking more at the stuff than I am looking at the one who can bless me in the midst of the stuff. Because I'm looking at something that's bigger than me, and I'm looking at how small I am, so there's no way I can overcome it. But wait a minute, he talks to Elisha. Elisha tell him, you ain't got to be afraid. There's more with us than there is with them. He say, I want some of what you smoking. He wasn't believing him. You know how I know he wasn't believing him? Because look at what happened. That brother was hysterical. Deacon Jones, he wasn't listening to nothing he had to say. And then what does he do? He very easily could have dismissed his servant. Man, get away from me. I ain't got time for that. Because I know what my God is doing. So I'm not going to question my God. But rather than him dismissing him, you know what he does for him? Look at verse 17. It says, then Elisha prayed. There are some folk, you can talk to them till you get blue in the face. And they ain't going to hear a word you say. But the one thing that you know that you can do is you can circumvent them and go right to the source. Because all you are is a resource. And what you are talking to is another resource. So you are going to the source to help the other resource to know what you've come to know to be true. Do you see it? No, you don't. Let me show you. Then Elisha prays, oh Lord. This is what causes me to scratch my head. He says, oh Lord, please. Do you see that word? Please. Not, oh Lord, open his eyes. He's saying, Lord, please. You know why he's saying to him, please? Please, Lord, show this brother some grace and mercy. He is already at a point where he ain't believing nothing I got to say. So please, Lord, show him some grace and. And I'm thanking God that somebody said a prayer for me. And when they prayed, I know somebody said, please. Oh, somebody gonna work with me. Please, Lord, deal with that hard-headed boy. And when he says, oh, Lord, please. Because he realized that right now, he is speaking against the one who is blessing him. Right now, he is incapable of believing what God has been doing for him all this time. Yes. And now that is at a time when he needs to lean on God. Yes. He is not leaning on God, but he's looking everywhere. So Lord, please show him grace and mercy. Anybody in here know that you got a please prayer prayed for you? Anybody in here know that somebody prayed to God and they said, Lord, please. Show him grace and mercy. Don't hold his offenses against him, Lord. Please open his eyes so that he can see. But you know what's awesome about that? Is that Elisha understands something. He is now here pleading for his servant. Because he knows that somebody had been pleading for him. He knew that he wasn't all out of bag of chips, two sodas, and a. He realized that he was just as flawed as this dude. But it's through his grace and mercy that God has brought him this far. It is through him taking time to spend with God and to grow in his word and his understanding and grow in his relationship with God. He realized where God has him at. But let's understand how he got here. Because when he was called by God, God told Elisha to walk up to him and throw his mantle over his shoulder. And Elisha, from that point, followed Elijah. And he followed Elijah up to the point where he knew Elisha was going to be taken up. And Elisha said, brother, what do you want me to do for you? He says, give me a double portion of your spirit or of your blessing. He said, well, that ain't left up to me. It ain't left up to nobody but God. And I want you to know, if God allows you to see me taken up, That means that God is going to honor what you have asked. Yeah. And don't you know when the fiery chariot and horse came to get Elijah, it pushed Elisha to the side, and Elisha saw how Elijah got into the fiery chariot and was taken up to the Lord. And at that point, he realized that God had given him a double portion of the blessing that he gave Elijah. And once he knew how God had blessed him, he realized how flawed he was. He couldn't do nothing but praise and thank God, because he knew it was nothing but God's grace and mercy that allowed it to happen. And since God has showed him grace and mercy, rather than throw his servant away, rather than push him away, he prayed for him. How many folk have been a thorn in your side and you've been throwing them away rather than praying for them? You see, you got to understand that there was a time in your life you was a thorn in the side for somebody. But now God has showed you grace and mercy. Don't you dare think that you've arrived and you ain't got to pray for somebody else. You got to remember where God has brought you from. You got to remember how he turned you around. You got to remember how, where, and how he met you. You got to remember how toe up you were. You got to remember that there was a time you wanted to give up rather than give out. You see, my brothers and my sisters, when we realize all that God has done for us, all that God has brought us through, we will not throw nobody away. Because if anybody should have been thrown away, it should have been me. So that being the case, he prays, Lord, please open his eyes that he may see. So here we're seeing Elisha is pleading with God to bless his servant or attendant. And once he does that, I just thank God for his grace and mercy. You see, God's got to put up with some stuff with us before he can really use us. God's got to put up with our shortcomings. God's got to put up with us complaining, us whining, with us wanting to say no. But I want you to understand, when you got God in your life, don't you know God has already said yes? I want you to know that there's some stuff that you're dealing with. God has already said yes, it's already done. But you got to continue to trust him and know it's already done. You see, my brothers and my sisters, all God is looking for are some folk who can see the yes when everybody else, all they can ever see is a no. When you know that God has been good to you, how far he's brought you, and know that I am only here because there's nobody but God that is blessing me, there's no way I'll ever sit down and shut up, but I gotta let somebody else know how good my God is. I gotta pray for them, because I am where I am because somebody prayed for me when I wasn't thinking about no having no relationship with God. When I think about all that folk have done for me, I can't help but say thank you. Oh, check this out, my brothers and sisters. After he prayed, you know what's amazing? If I can still use my imagination, while Elisha was praying for him, this dude is still running around like he ain't got no good sense, trying to figure out what's going on. Oh, we about to die. We ain't gonna make it. There's too many of them. We gonna lose. And while he's doing all that hollering on negativity, Elisha was praying. You see, whether you know it or not, this was a make it happen situation. Amen. Now, what do I mean by that? It'd have been easy for him to quit on this man, but he didn't quit on him. He said this was an opportunity for him to make it happen. Like, because he wouldn't focus on the obstacle. But he focused on the. He would not allow the doubt to win. But he allowed himself to put his complete trust in God. And once he did that, he knew and he was praying to God, Lord, I need you to make it. Because I'm God's. And then what did God do? Could you imagine all of a sudden, did something happen to this brother as he's ramping and raving? Something just stopped him. Once he stopped, he closed his eyes and he rubbed his eyes. And when he rubbed his eyes and he opened his eyes, he looked all around the mountain. And when he looked all around the mountain, Brother Freeman, what he saw was horses and fiery chariots all around the mountain. And then he turns and he looks at Elisha. He sees nothing but horses and fiery chariots all around him. And then when he looked at himself, he saw fiery chariots and horses all around him as well, because they were all around in the presence of God. And God was showing Elisha, and this is what Elisha was seeing, and this is what Elisha wanted him to see. And after this brother saw this, you know what I believe that he said, Lord! Thank you for your presence. You see, my brothers and my sisters, we got to learn how to thank God for his. Where would we be if we weren't presence of God? Because prior to knowing the Lord, all of us were absent. Every time my name was called, the answer was absent. But the day that we came and gave our lives to Jesus, from that point on, there should not be an absent check mark next to our names. Because now that we know whom the Son has set free, it's free indeed. And now that I know I am free, I am no longer bound, and I know where my help comes from. I know who brought me this far. I know who gave me the victory. I know who has healed me. I know who's delivering me. I know who's making a way for me. I know who's opened doors for me. I know who knocked down walls for me. I know who keeps me in my right mind. I know who's with me right now. I know who can get me up out of hospital bed. I know who is going to bless me, and his name is Jesus. Do I got any folk in here who are going to be present with God moving forward? You will not see a check mark that says absent and have my name next to it. I will not be absent no more. You know, but I want you to understand something. Things differ slightly from Old Testament to New Testament. We aren't surrounded by fiery chariots anymore. We still have the presence of God. But what God has given us that's inside of us is called his Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit that's inside of us, I want you to know that's a bad spirit in there. And I don't mean bad from a negative. I mean bad from a good. We serve a bad God. Our God is so bad. He is the best, and nothing gets better than our God. And what God has put inside of us is called his Holy Spirit. And through that Holy Spirit, all of us in here can quote 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Lord, I thank you for your... When you know the presence of God is in you, when you know how far God has brought you, when you know you couldn't make it without the Lord, Lord, I ain't looking nowhere else. I'm looking right at you. Because where would I be if I didn't have Jesus? Anybody happy to have Jesus? Go on and turn to three folk. Give them a high five and say, I'm glad I got Jesus. You see, my brothers and sisters. You see, my brothers and sisters. It's the power of God. It has now manifested itself. That is not just on the outside, but it's on the inside. You got some power inside of you. Walk like you got power. Talk like you got power. I'm not saying be arrogant, but you got to be confident in the God you serve. God, if you brought me this far, I believe you're going to take me all the way. God, if you brought me to it, I know you're going to see me through it. It's called the power of God. right, I'm almost done. But look, hear this. You know, we know what God is about to do in this ministry. We know where God is taking this ministry. But I want y'all to know something. We'll get there faster if we all stay in line. And we need to have less folk falling. Oh, somebody working with me. We'll get there faster when we find more folk who fall in and less folk falling further. Because when you're falling behind, that means you're absent. And it's not about me. It's all about Jesus. When I start standing up telling you what I think about everything, and I ain't looking at his word, it's time for me to go. But if what we are doing is sharing the unadulterated word of God that will inspire you, empower you, strengthen you, heal you, deliver you, make a way out of no way for you, then you know for a fact that when you do and you go as the word says, you'll see that you'll find yourself in line. But if you always saying, it don't take all that, I don't know why they're talking about all this and all that, you ain't in line, you falling further. And you are absent. Absent. But look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, let's all get in line. Experience the presence of God. Amen. He's just that good. But you won't know it until you get So that's my challenge to you. Because it ain't about me. I don't care if you don't like me. But you need to love me. Guess what? I might not like you all the time. But I got to love you. How can a man say he loves God whom he has not seen, but hate his brother whom he sees every day? The truth is not in you. Now, if you want to still fold your arms and take deep breaths, that's between you and God. You're absent. But God wants you to be present. Because, let me close it with this and give it to you like this. The question was whether or not God was there. The question was, can you believe he's there? Because one believed he was there. The other did not believe. And because of that, Elisha prayed for his eyes to be open so that that which appeared to be invisible would take on a physical manifestation so that this brother could see the truth. Because the truth is the only thing that will set you and I free. Amen. So that brother was set free that day. He was set free in the presence of God because God opened his eyes to see his presence. And once he saw God's presence, he said, Lord, thank you for your presence. Because now I know what my God can do. So I challenge you. You ain't got to look for no fiery chariots and horses. The Holy Spirit dwells inside of us. And if you trust that Spirit inside of you, you'll know it. Because God's going to show you some stuff. But all he wants to know, are you going to be present? Because God is already there. Class is already in session. The teacher is there. But are you? And if you're present, you're in line. And God is blessing you at the same time. But if you're not, you're falling behind. And you're wondering what's happening with all your time. Think about that. So that's my challenge to you, y'all. Don't be absent. Got to be present.